There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Once again, as I've pointed out over the years, that's not an answer to a question. It's not an interrogatory, but that's how we start Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday, and guest in studio, Jeff Sessions. And I appreciate your time staying on a little bit longer with us, because we got a lot of things to talk about and go through here. And we talked a bunch about this during the news break, but I want you to, you know, talk to the people listening here. And one thing, when we were ending the last hour, you're talking about AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne, one of your fellow Republicans running in the primary. You've got a situation now. He's out of the race. He did very well in Mobile and Baldwin counties and elsewhere. But I mean, he took the lion's share of the votes here.
He did a really good job here, and he was strong, and he got a good percentage statewide. Mm-hmm. It was a weakness in North Alabama. I'd spent 20 years working with Huntsville and Birmingham and Florence and mm-hmm. Auburn and Opelika and Tuscaloosa. So he did very well, and particularly here. And what I would say to the voters here is, I respect him. He's the only person I mentioned in my remarks the other night, and he's been my congressman. So I would say to them, I would urge you to consider me for this Senate seat, that I was true to you in the past. You've supported me as your senator. I have not changed. I understand how to hit the ground running. My opponent, Tommy Tuberville, I do not believe has shown much interest in Mobile. I was there at the beginning of AUSTL and be able to help the littoral combat ship get established here. Even before that, I was on the Sea Power subcommittee, and we believe that was a good naval program, and then we got it in Mobile. Likewise, I was at the ground battling for Airbus and the tanker and that fight. I just would say I know this area. Both my daughters graduated from Murphy. They were editors of the yearbook. My son went to St. Paul's. We're part of this community. This is my home. People, I want them to know that I can protect and defend this effectively. Armed Services Committee, I expect to be able to get back on that. And Jim Inhofe, the chairman of it, is one of my best friends. He's already come to Alabama to endorse me and support me. He wants me to chair a committee. So I would just say I can hit the ground running for Alabama, and we've got a person that has no history whatsoever. We don't even know what his philosophy is, except he has said some very wrong things about immigration that are shocking to me. He said some very, very wrong things about trade and President Trump standing up to China and using tariffs to protect American industry and protect American jobs and stop this hollowing out of the entire manufacturing base of America. He's got the wrong view about that. He said, I'm 100% free trader. Well, President Trump is a fair trader. He says he doesn't.
They're different things. Very. So,
Trump ran against that crowd.
Correct.
That's who he beat. I was with Trump. This is really not a little matter. And then also he opposes the use of tariffs, which is a radical
big
free
departure
trade
from,
agenda view. And he actually said he opposed Trump's opinion approach to China, which is. We're in the major negotiations with China. I'm so proud of the president. He's using tariffs to force them to come to the table. They have so much more to lose than we do. He knows it. He's playing that card exactly right. We need to be supporting him, not saying you don't agree with him. It's a big issue for America. We need to know who our senator from Alabama is, and we got to know he can be counted on. You know me, you know where I've stood. There's no doubt about it, and I'm not changing. I'm more convicted now than ever, and I believe we have an opportunity with the reelection of President Trump that's historic, and we do not need to drop the ball.
You know, we talk so many times when you're in here about idealistic things, because I love to have those conversations with you. But you mentioned something pragmatically. So for a second, and the people on the phone lines were coming to you in a second, but the pragmatic thing, you touched on it for a second. It's something that when you're not in here, I get a lot of questions about. Okay, so let's delve into it. You talk about Senator Inhofe and your discussions there and getting back on committees. Because let's talk some pragmatic. I was talking about a little bit earlier where I'm worried about our standing in the Senate. The only place we get even footing, as we look at a California or a Texas or a New York and the number of House seats they have, we get crushed. And we're about to have 6 maybe versus 7 congressional seats. But in the Senate, we get to stand 2 senators just like every other state. But beyond that, we need to have, I'm just going to say it here back home, I want to have outsized influence in the Senate because we don't get it in the House. So pragmatically, you talk about going back up, getting on these committees. People always ask me, well, what about seniority? And the way I understand it, you correct me, that you don't come in with seniority over senators who are still there, but there is a seniority among what would be the new senators? Or how does that work?
Yeah. You don't get to come back into the Senate and jump ahead of people who are now chairing committees and that kind of
thing. You can't say I'm back. You'll get
it. But I would be first in my class.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, I know personally, I think every single committee chairman now that I served with, I can go in their office and I understand it. And thirdly, I would say I have the ability to understand the rules and hit the ground running. There'll be people trying to take things from us. We're going to have a battle with Austell. I talked to Craig Percy of Alley. Out there, he runs that place, and we've worked with him for years from the very, you know, and keep that ball going healthy and strong.
Right.
A United States senator has two real fundamental roles, in my opinion. One, you never forget, in making sure you protect the legitimate interest of your state.
Mm-hmm. You're our ambassador to Washington.
Yes, but we do things like Fort Rucker, the Army Aviation Center in Southeast Alabama, a fundamental thing, the Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery with the Air War College and the JAG School and the Gunner Annex, which is a huge computer center. We got Anniston Army Depot. We've got the top National Guard per capita in the country virtually. It's a huge part of the state. And then we've got this massive technology of missiles and defense systems in Huntsville.
Yeah, Redstone
and
all.
And so I just would say to you have to protect your interest of your state. This is no little matter. And in addition to that, the people of Alabama want a champion, somebody who advances their values against radical judges, against radical socialism, against illegality at the border, against people who cheat us on trade and shut our factories down and lay off our workers. They want somebody who will fight for having wages rise like has happened in President Trump's time, after 20 years of not. Wages are going up above inflation rate mm-hmm. for a change. No wonder the American people have been unhappy to go 20 years with no real pay raise. And
you've been talking about that for a long
time.
Yeah,
and one more thing I would say. When you go into the Republican Conference, you got to push them. A lot of them been there.
Right.
They gotten settled into the establishment crowd and the big business crowd. Somebody needs to defend the average working American. And that's what I've been doing and become more effective at it in the last several years of my tenure.
So it is. I mean, it's both have this discussion. There's the idealistic part you talked about. The same part, there's a pragmatic part of it for our state. And how, I mean, I preach about this all the time, but I mean, we are not a Texas, we're not a California, we're not a New York, we do not have House seats coming out our ears, but we do get even standing in the Senate.
That is a good point, actually. I mean, it's very important matter.
I'm not going to tell, Ben's asking, how many times Your competitor has Coach Tuberville come on the show. Let me say this. Somebody's asking the number of times you've been on with me versus Coach Tuberville. I want to tell you all something right here, even with Forest Center Session sitting here. I give equal time. By law, I give equal time. And by morality, I give equal time. Coach Tuberville has been on the show one time and never come back on. So I'll put it that way. So he's gotten every invitation that you've had. So if somebody's thinking I give them every opportunity to come on. This is a good question. What are you, let me get the language right as these things bounce around, your proudest accomplishments in the Senate?
Well, I think my proudest accomplishments has been to push the Republicans to be more oriented toward average working people. You might ask me tomorrow, I might see another accomplishment, but in historic terms, I believe this Republican Party that I started at as a teenager, when we lost every election, we had two members of the entire state legislature when I was
Some bad times back then.
A Republican, but I believed in these principles. But standing up for or helping to move that party to more Trumpian. You know, he appealed to working people more effectively. You won't win an election if you can't appeal to the people who make the half of America that makes less than $60,000 a year.
Sure.
Many make a lot less than $60,000 a year. And so I think that we did have great victories against the amnesty bill three different times, against all odds sometimes. We never knew we were going to win, but we won every time. I won against the trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We won. I forced the Democrats to bring up a budget when they had the majority, and I was a ranking Republican on the budget committee. We forced them to follow the law, which says you have to produce a budget every year. And actually, they passed a bill that said no a budget, no pay. That's what forced that to happen.
This one, speaking of money from Washington, and this is Dan. That is Ben. Another Ben says, what is Mr. Sessions' plan to secure federal funding for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project?
Of course, the primary decision-making on how monies are to be allocated are by the state. But let me tell you, the one thing I think that might be important for us to hope for and believe in, the president has favored a major infrastructure bill as much as $1 trillion. I was with him on the campaign trail.
I heard him
make those promises, and it's part of his agenda. He couldn't get it up in his first term. We don't need to pass that in the second term early, and I think that's the one source of new money to help Alabama be able to advance some major projects. I've been in the traffic on I-10. I've been there, and I know we got to work toward fixing that.
Pragmatically, you think you're talking about early in the term. So President Trump gets reelected early in the term. You think he can bring? I mean, because infrastructure has been a place where at least Democrats and Republicans can get somewhat closer. You think you could bring at that point? They're looking at 4 years, the second term. You think Democrats will play ball there in the House? You think, or and I know many think that the Republicans could get the House back. I don't know. That's in the future. You're going to need some Democrats to make this happen.
I believe that if they'll bring up the bill in the Senate, if not the House, that it's unstoppable. I don't believe the Democrats will vote against a good infrastructure bill. I don't think they can go home and not vote for it when President Trump gets behind it. And they're worried about giving him a big victory now. That's why they won't do it now, because it would help him with the reelection and be just one more accomplishment that he promised to do that he got done. And so they've refused to do so irresponsibly. If this bill is brought up, I think he'd have a very high degree of success.
Okay. I get a lot of text on this. I'm looking at the phone lines too, so maybe we can let Jeff ask the question here on the phone line and answer a lot of these text questions. It's something I asked you the first time you came back on the show with me about the recusal and the explanation. But Jeff in Orange Beach has a question. Jeff, you're on with former Senator Sessions, and y'all go. You're on.
Senator Sessions, thank y'all for taking my questions. I got a call yesterday from somebody from the Tuberville campaign, and I said, guys, I can't help you because I'm standing behind Senator Sessions. And they asked me why. They said, why are you standing with him when he recused himself day one? And he could have changed Paul Ryan, how the Congress reacted. And I get this question a lot from a lot of people that kind of pay attention to what I'm doing. And I'd love to hear it from you to tell the people why that we should trust your leadership again, because we felt let down in that situation.
This was a matter I had to decide as Attorney General. It was some weeks after I became Attorney General. The rule, not the law, the regulations, the law of the Department of Justice says that if you participate in a political campaign, you cannot investigate and supervise the investigation of that campaign. I was a national security chairman of the Trump campaign. I nominated President Trump at the convention at his request. I was on travel with him all over the country. I gave him a whole year of my life, basically, to helping him get elected, very few days off, 7 days a week. So I was prohibited from doing that. A recusal basically says you just can't run the investigation. We did not know that there was this kind of investigation ongoing when I was confirmed, and so I had to recuse myself. I believe I followed the law. I'm a person who follows the law, and I was insisting that the Department of Justice tighten up. There were too many leaks, there was too much politics, and it was impossible for me to insist that others comply with the rules if I didn't. But I understand the president's frustration. It went on longer than anybody expected, but I always was confident that the investigation would come out as it did. He would be cleared. I certainly knew of nothing improper occurred with Russia. And now in this impeachment effort, they didn't even mention collusion. Didn't even mention Russia because he was cleared of it, and that's in the long run was a good thing for America, I think.
Well, Senator Sessions, I thank you. I respect you. You've been incredible for Alabama. I hope when you win, they get your seniority back, and I wish you luck, sir.
Well, thank you so much. I'll try to be worthy of your confidence, and I have always tried to be sure that the people, particularly my hometown people, know that I did my level best to do the right thing every day and not sell out to Wall Street, big money, liberal interest groups, let the left-wing media direct you. I've taken my hits from them. I've always tried to stay firm for what I thought was true and correct.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call. I want to go to Ron in Mobile. You're on next. Ron, you're on with former Senator Sessions.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I just want to make a statement that do you ever think that we're going to see a return to civility and mutual respect among the left?
Well, it is, Ron, a very divisive situation right now. One old head that I thought was pretty insightful said there used to be bitter personal hatreds in the Senate, but now it's fundamentally their disagreements are philosophical. So you've got this progressive group that thinks judges can impose politics. They want to have socialism and more government, more taxes, more regulation, and we want classical American rules of freedom and free enterprise and that produce prosperity as well as freedom. So there's some big differences out there. This postmodern crowd that's secular, that's all about power, less and less about principle and what's right in the long run. So it's out there. I've always been able to get along with people, but I've never backed down. The people knew I was rock solid in my beliefs, and I remain so.
Well, I have observed you do that over many years, so I appreciate that. Second thing I want to ask you about is negative mudslinging ads. I don't mind when people get into people's records or they talk about what they said, but when it looks like it's just becoming a downright dirty personal attack, I can't deal with that. And I've even withdrawn my support from a couple of people who were longtime friends who were running for other offices. And I see that they're using that same tactic against you, and it just turns me off. Do we have to have that type of campaigning now?
Well, one old friend one time said, my buddies don't like negative advertisements, but I do. I want to know what they've done. sometimes you just tell people about what somebody did and where they come from. But you're right. I hate them. And people have been beating up on me for a year, you know, of every kind of charge. So we have to push back some. But I agree with you, Ron, and I hate it.
And Ron, I appreciate the call, but let me point out too that it was Jefferson and Adams, they're pretty rough back then. So it's not new to our republic, is it?
No, it's not. They had some bitter debates.
They said some mean stuff about each other back then. Brian's in Citronelle. You're on with Jeff Sessions.
Hey, Senator Sessions, how you doing today, man?
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, listen, you know, man, I voted for you. Every time that I've ever voted, I voted for you. And I'm going to continue to. I have confidence in you. And needless to say, this is some crazy times we're living in. And we're facing things that we've never faced before. And the obstacles that the Democrats and the socialists are putting in front of us are just crazy, for lack of a better word. It really is. I mean, things that we've never seen before. And we do believe in you. And we have confidence in you. And we know you're going to do a good job.
Thank you for that.
You can't really be upset with us for being frustrated right now.
Well, I think that I do. I think that's a good point, Brian. People are frustrated. I know some people were concerned about my recusal. I honestly believe I did the only thing I could do.
You know why, though?
I know, I do.
And I mean, we know that you followed the rule of law. We know you did. And we respect you for that, because you've always done it.
Well,
you've always took care of us. But we also thought, hey, man, we got one of our guys up there that's going to look after the president. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we felt that the guy on our side, he was there. And so I can understand the president's frustration. I just want you to understand our frustration, but we haven't given up on you.
Thank you.
You know that, right?
Well, that means a lot to me. And I would just say, in the Senate, this is what I felt I had to do as Attorney General, but I also would ask people, this is about the future. It's not about the past.
It is.
But I think you can look at my record in the Senate.
Of course.
And predict where we're going in the future, and I have not changed. I was a leading advocate of the Trump issues before he even announced, and that's why I endorsed him, because I thought it was what I believed and what the people of Alabama believed, and I proved to be correct.
If you had told me 15 years ago that I'd have been voting for Donald Trump to be president, I'd have told you he's crazy as hell. I'd have never thought in a million years. I'd have never thought a lot of things where we are right now in this country. I'd have never thought we'd be here, but we are. We need you, man.
Did you think I was crazy when I endorsed him? Or did you know at that time?
I did not. No, I didn't, because he was out there saying the things that we were all thinking.
That's right. I think you're right, Brian. He appealed over the heads of the
people. You know, you've always been a fighter for Alabama, and we know that. And the game's not over. It's not over.
Right, I appreciate
you're going into overtime.
You're exactly right. We're going to work just to the last day, and if Lord allows me, I hope that the people of Alabama will be continue to be proud of my service in the Senate, because I love them.
Man.
I love this
state.
You're
an honorable man, and we know it.
And
we're just all frustrated, just as much as you are.
Brian, I appreciate your call. Thank you. We're up against the end of the segment here, and I know you've got to move on, but I want you to get a minute here to tell folks that they, how they support you, how they get more information, and I'm sure you want to ask them to show up sometime this month. When is it?
29th. Look, I've done my best to be a leader for the things we believe in. I have stood up for Alabama values for years, and actually I think even more effectively and vigorously in the last several years of my time in the Senate, because I've seen even the Republicans have become too status quo, too establishment oriented, not enough sensitivity to the people. So I would just say to you, I've stood with you, I've stood for you, I've spoken for you. I'm asking you now to stand with me one more time. We're going to keep working.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for being here. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. There he is, Senator Jeff Sessions. We'll take your calls, and also my buddy Wayne Dean from UCP coming by as well. You know, we got, like, festivals for all kind of foods around here. What about for macaroni and cheese? Wait till you hear this.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
To 136 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. And talk to my buddy Wayne Dean from United Cerebral Palsy in just a second. We'll talk mac and cheese, but I got some calls that have held on for a very long time, and I want to get this one here because Doug is in Daphne. Hey, Doug, the senator has left, but I bet you they're listening still if you want to talk to him.
You know, I'm sorry I missed Jeff. I've known him a long time. I really do support him. I had the pleasure of working with Senator Jeremiah Denton for 6 years.
And oh, wow.
Great, great man, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, president, bless his heart, just doesn't quite understand the law. And all presidents are like that to some extent. Had Jeff stayed there and carried this fight on for the president and not recused himself, we would have had something akin to Nixon and Mitchell and the big battle that went on at that time during the Watergate hearings, or prior to it. But the Attorney General understands the law. Jeff really had no choice but to recuse himself. He cannot investigate himself. And I hate that for him, that happened that way, and Trump summarily, I say said the word to fire him, but I think it was... It was a little less than classic, let's put it that way.
But the support
for the... listen to his attorney general. And I understand that there's probably a box of Rolaids that went on in the top center desk drawer for Bill Barr when he went in the AG's office. Well, that was left over from the previous AG, that short-term guy that was in there.
I'm sure you're right. Here's the thing. And I appreciate your call, but as much time as when he was our senator, and much time as he spent on the show with me back then, and all the years of knowing Jeff Sessions, and knowing what he was talking about during 8 years of the Obama administration, heck, you can go back and roll the tape. He would be standing in the rotunda talking about the ideas that became the planks of then Donald J. Trump, the candidate's platform. And, you know, one thing we've mentioned in the past, I didn't have time to talk to the senator about, but President Trump gets reelected 4 years, he eventually will not be president. So does this agenda just go away when President Trump leaves office? Or are you going to have people in the Senate? You got people in the House? You're going to have people that keep that going and moving forward? And I think that's it's a fair question. I appreciate your call. And I just want to add in, too, Rachel had texted here. And I'm going to read Rachel's. I mean, I've got like 50 texts here, but I'm going to read Rachel's because says something better than I could say it myself. Rachel says, to me, it's an insulting part of the Tuberville camp to imply Alabamians aren't smart enough to understand Sessions had to recuse himself. It wasn't a cut-and-run situation. It wasn't a personal decision. It was a legal decision. Tuberville's harping on Sessions bailing. Sessions needs to point out how insulting that position is to Alabamians. Thank you, Rachel, and thank you for the text. All right, let's get out of the realm of... Although, I don't know, because mac and cheese could be contentious as well. My buddy Wayne Dean from UCP, and Avery, your last name?
Nelson.
Nelson, joining me in studio to talk about, is this for the eater or the cooker?
Yes.
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 So what are we talking?
It's for both.
So we're talking about a competition making mac and cheese.
Right, and it's a judging, just like all other competitions.
Right.
They're going to be vying for the best, and they get a apron. We give them a nice apron, and we have two categories. It's Saturday, March the 21st.
Okay.
Second annual.
It's mac and cheese. Right.
It's mac and cheese. Some have more than two categories. Some have breakfast mac and cheese and dinner mac and cheese. We're just doing two, classic and gourmet. Gourmet. Classic, you understand, right?
That's probably what I grew up on, yes. Yes.
Classic, you know, like you get out of a can, but a lot better.
Okay.
And even classic, you can really do some stuff with it. But gourmet in our festival is you can use unusual types of pasta, not your common little noodle.
Right.
And you can put almost anything in there you want. Last year we had, we had everything from Kaneka sausage to
which makes
shrimp
everything great.
Yes. To, just all kind of things. We're even looking at a possible competitor that will have ice cream.
Okay, you come in with this crazy talk here.
I come with crazy talk every time I come.
That's what I like about you. One of the main things. So, Avery, this is March 21st. Are you looking for teams now, or is it filled up? How does that work?
Yeah, so we're still accepting team applications on our website and then linked through the Mobtown Mac and Cheese Fest Facebook page.
Mobtown Mac and Cheese, I like it.
Yeah, and then, like I said, we're looking for teams, but also... tickets are on both the ucpmobile.org website as well as the Facebook page.
Is a team, how many people is a team? Can it be one person team?
Not necessarily. As many as you'd like to bring in, you can fit under an easy up tent, you know.
You just have to get some tiny, I don't know, some of my old boys I know that can cook, there would be about three of us get under that tent and we'd be full. But,
right.
But
right.
So, okay, you get the team out there and you're, then I guess you cook and then you serve, did the judges come by? How's this work?
Well, basically most of the cooking's done off site and you just have to keep it, at the legal temperature for the mm-hmm. health department. We have judges that will then, and all the little cups are provided by UCP, so... the serving cups. So mm-hmm. even the team only has to provide, the ingredients and actually cook them. But we will take the individual servings to the judges based on a schedule, and the judges will judge it blind.
Okay.
Based on the criteria that we give them on taste and texture and all of that.
So I know there's, because you and I have talked about this before, there's some people that are really into the gourmet style mac and cheese.
Right.
I mean, just because I haven't broadened my horizons into that doesn't mean it's not happening around. There's people make some pretty darn fancy mac and cheese.
Yeah. And if you go on the web and look at other mac and cheese festival, it will blow you away. And we decided not to get too detailed, on at least initially. But there are some that have a wide variety of categories.
Okay.
And that are actually being prepared.
This has two, though, right
two,
now.
Two. Easy, too.
Regular and gourmet, or what's the...
Gourmet. And you can enter, a team can enter one or the other or both.
Okay.
And we have a number of teams that this year that have entered both.
Show-offs. Yes.
Enter more, you can increase your chances to win.
I like your logic here. Hey, let's do this. Run the news break. We'll come back, talk more about the Mac and Cheese Festival. And also, every time you're in, I want to talk about UCP.
Okay.
Talk about what y'all do. And make sure everybody right here in South Alabama knows what you do and the people you serve. So we'll continue this discussion. We'll go to the news and come right back right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. And heads up here, too, that we will be... And guys, I tell you what, if y'all will plug those headphones in there, too, because I see we got a phone call here, wants to talk Mac and Cheese Fest, and I want to get some headphones on. If they're way too loud, I'll turn them down for you. But I want to give people a heads up that we're talking about Mac and Cheese Fest coming up. But coming up tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, maybe Dalton, you can help if they need a little help in here. But on Saturday, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, 3 days at the Mobile Boat Show. It's the FM Talk 106.5 Guides Corner. I'm going to be there along with my buddy Mike Ward. He and I host FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We'll do a special two-hour FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors from the boat show on Saturday. But this show, Midday Mobile, live from the boat show tomorrow. Plus, we'll be there along with the full list of guides from the fishing world, the outdoors world. We'll be there for Friday throughout tomorrow evening, Saturday all day, and Sunday all day, answering questions and getting to just visit and always have a good time. And if you want to stop by, we got the brand new run of the FM Talk 106.5 Huggers. Also have the FM Talk 106.5 Floating Keychains. So perfect for the boat show, right? Stop by and get some of those. And when you're there, grab, if you've yet to get your copy of Dr. Bill's Mobile Weather and Marine Almanac, it'll be there as well. And it's going to be fun. So come by and see us at the boat show. All right. And we're talking UCP and talking specifically the Mac and Cheese Fest, but I want to get back to UCP in a second. But our buddy Garrett Williamson from Personal Wedge Fitness is hanging on the line here, and I want to get to him because are you talking some mac and cheese, Garrett? What's up?
Absolutely. Now, Sean, listen, I promise you, I'm not calling up to do a promo for my show. You know the show that's on a Tuesday at 6 p.m. on your station.
I've heard of it.
No,
yes.
Seriously, you've heard me say this on your show. You've heard me say this on my show. When I hear that UCP is putting on this event, and UCP is a fantastic organization.
And we'd be glad to come on your show, too.
I've got to think that some people are out there having this ridiculous idea that to take part in such an event is going to be unhealthy. It's not going to be their diet or whatever. And I just want to let you know, from the authority, not only myself, but the every right registered dietitian out there, including our very young Lynn Barnes here in Mobile, will tell you, there is absolutely no such thing as bad food. So I can't think of any reason to miss this event. Thank you so much for putting it on.
So now you'll have endorsement from somebody who deals with this health stuff every day. You have endorsement from Garrett on the Mac and Cheese Festival.
Sounds great. And then we also, for those that want to kind of eat a lot of mac and cheese and kind of relax, we have a swing band that will be playing throughout the day that they can dance.
Oh, and do a little dance,
not wild dancing, but nice swing dancing.
Okay.
And eat a little cheese and mac. And
very good. So where's the event, Avery? Where is it going to be?
Cathedral Square Park downtown.
Okay.
Yep.
And for those of us that may not be cooking in the event, but we want to come down and consume in the event, what time do we get there?
So the event starts at noon unless you get the VIC, very important, cheese ticket. Yeah.
You're killing me.
Which then allows you an hour early admission, so you get in at 11. So you get a little bit, you get mac and cheese a little bit before everybody else.
Those tickets are limited, and, you know, if you really
where do we get
be
those?
A VIC, same location, you know, UCP, mobile.org.
Okay.
We have a Bentley office, and how many? We got
six bars
downtown.
Six bars downtown selling them.
Very good. Mm-hmm. I want to do this. We'll get back and we'll remind folks once again about the festival, but most importantly, when I know, and Avery, good to have you in here doing it, but I've been doing it with Wayne for a long time. Wayne, talk to me about the impact of UCP for families here in South Alabama.
Well, you know, I've got to mention that number of people that we serve every month.
Y'all get ready. Listen to this.
And actually, I think it's a little more than this, but we use 700 families each month.
700 families.
That United Cerebral Palsy serves. Now, think about a family. Is that a family of one, or two, or three, or four, or five? It could be more.
That's unreal.
And that kind of gives you the impact of just what our agency does in South Alabama. And we do not serve just individuals with United Cerebral Palsy, with cerebral palsy. We have a number of different disabilities that we serve. So even though our name says cerebral palsy, we're more than that.
Yeah, very much so. And
everything from, you know, in the home, from early intervention. You know, you think about having a newborn baby, maybe it's your first child. That's scary.
Sure.
But if you get a child with disabilities, that's even scarier. And we have people, trained people that can come to the home, do some early intervention, help there. We in-house, we have a preschool. And I know I've told you many times, my office is by the preschool. Best office in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching personally those children from the day one that we get them, the first time they come, and maybe they're there 2 or 3 years, the progress is remarkable.
You've told amazing stories over the years about it. I mean,
you know, it's just amazing to watch those children as they grow and interact with the other children. And we have a great playground now, a state-of-the-art playground. We have an adult program. We do, of course, speech therapy, all kind of therapies for the children, for the...
You're doing it right here at home. I mean, this is... So when people come out, whether come out have just a great time, come to the Mac and Cheese Festival, or somebody just wants to make a donation to United Cerebral Palsy, you're helping families. Nothing wrong with helping families elsewhere, but you're helping folks right here at home.
Right, in South Alabama, 32 counties that we, South Alabama, we deal with.
It's pretty amazing. And once again, the number of families monthly?
700 plus.
Y'all do the math on that. Y'all are doing fantastic work.
Do the math. And it's also interesting, Sean, is that most people know someone that has had either a child or a person with United Cerebral Palsy or some other disability. And it's very possible that at some point we have helped that person.
Well, I imagine with the impact you're doing every month, there's a pretty good chance that y'all have touched all these different families in our area. All right. Once again, let's talk about the party coming up on the 21st.
Mm-hmm. You're right. So like we said, 6 bars downtown currently are selling the tickets. We have Alchemy Tavern, Blind Mule, Game Over, Post, Brickyard, and Flipside. So besides our website, there are plenty of places. If you just happen to be downtown at one of these places, you can always pick up tickets there.
Right.
Yeah.
I was there because I was getting tickets
for
Mac and Cheese Festival. But this is a lot of fun, and this is, once again, one of the big events for y'all each year, although we have many events we talk about that do.
Yes.
And remind folks, too, are you still, if they want to do donations, are you...
Sure. We will, if they just want to donate, you also go to ucpmobile.org and we can, take donations there. And as Avery said, anyone that wants to put a team in.
Okay.
You don't have to... We have some marching groups from the Joe Kane that are putting teams in. We have restaurants that have teams.
I've heard that day's popular.
Families,
that Joe Kane Day's popular.
And we have families that are putting teams in. So, you get 2 or 3 people say, hey, we've got the best mac and cheese. Mama, I'm going to cook it like Mama did or Grandma did. Come on out. We have a team on that website. We have a team application.
That's fantastic.
So you can get a team. And if you want to be a sponsor, we can you want to put your name on something down there, we can handle that too.
Very good. Avery, Wayne, thank you for your time. Thanks for what y'all do for our community.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Always.
All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way. I will be talking with you. During this show, I'll be talking to you from the boat show tomorrow. We'll be live at the boat show, and then we'll be back on Saturday too. Actually, we're going to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so come see us. All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I will talk to you next tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings.